The Morning Brew is brought to you by West Rock Coffee.
Good morning!
Morning!
It's time for your Morning Brew.
Things are gonna get weird.
You're gonna keep lightning, and you're gonna crack thunder!
Okay, this guy needs coffee and coolers. Stat!
You know what can really help you sort through these important issues?
What?
Orange mocha frappuccino!
Damn, Jimmy. This is some serious gourmet s***.
Let's get it on!
He's definitely got a high ankle sprain. Everything else checked out good. He's going to miss some time. I mean, it's hard to put a timetable on it right now.
Is IR a possibility this week?
I don't know. I haven't talked about that with George yet.
Nick Fangio talking about the Jerry Jeudy injury. We've got Mark out today. Nick Ferguson from Nick and Cecil saying in this morning, high ankle sprains. Talk to me about those things, because those things fall into a kind of iffy, hard to completely nail down type injury, right? I mean, whatever timetable you have, don't they tend to actually even linger a little longer?
Well, with high ankle sprains, just like anything else, there's grades. The most severe is grade 3. And I think that that's might be what Jerry Jeudy is dealing with, 4 to 6 weeks. And the reason you worry about it, because you think about the tibia and the fibia both in your leg, and those two joints turning. When you look at how, you know, Jerry Jeudy's foot was torqued just a little, you had to become like really squeamish, and that look you have on your face is exactly the same look I have. But the biggest thing is the ligament that you have in your foot that keeps the ankle in place. That's the problem. And one thing about the high ankle sprain, it starts to climb all the way up to your calf. And the only way that you know it's starting to heal, it starts to go down and kind of settles into your ankle. That's when you say, you know what? Now the healing process is taking place. I've had it before. It's taken a while. I even had to take a shot in my foot to kind of speed up the recovery. Will they do that with Jeudy? Don't know. But it's going to be some time before he gets back.
Next on the Morning Brew.
I just want to be consistent, man. You know, the goal is to be consistent. The goal is just to come out every game and help this team win. You know, that's the mindset. You know, 1-0, like I've said before. You know, that's the goal. 1-0 every week. Make the plays you can make. Just, you know, but you don't have to be Superman. You know, to go out there, you just got to be you.
Melvin Gordon ended up having a bigger stat line, had the 70-yard touchdown run, but Javonte Williams got more carries than him. When they were trying to bleed down the clock with about 3.5 minutes left, starting from their own 6, Javonte Williams was out there, got the first 2 carries of the drive. So were you surprised at all, Nick, that Javonte Williams seemed to be, well, a co-running back with Melvin Gordon as early as week 1?
No, I wasn't shocked. When the Broncos moved up in the second round to pick Javonte Williams, they did that with purpose. This whole identity that they're trying to build here in Denver is play great defense, run the ball. Pittsburgh Steelers made that famous, and they've won several Super Bowls with that. And looking at the way that Javonte Williams runs the ball, we're talking about yards after contact, spry, young jitterbug type of legs. Yeah, throw him in there. Let him wear down the defense. And then you bring in, you know, Melvin Gordon, a complimentary, you know, running back to really slice and dice up the defense. So this is the philosophy that the Broncos are hoping they can push on and get them into playoffs.
But you're looking at more like Williams being the lead guy and then Melvin being the complimentary guy?
Yeah, at some point.
Really?
Yeah. At some point, just...
Hey, Melvin Gordon looks good. I mean, I think the best part of that run was when he turned the corner and then put on that burst of speed. I didn't think he had that kind of speed left.
But this is why you bring in a young guy, you let him punish the defense, and then you bring in a savvy vet, and now you allow him to use his speed and fresh legs to come in and do what he did.
All right, next little Morning Brew.
Blitz is picked up. Jones is open. Jackpot, baby! Vegas touchdown! This time, no doubt. Put it in the W column, baby. This one's over.
Brent Musburger. Guy is ageless.
Win. 16-0, man.
With the call on Raiders Radio. Yeah, wild Monday night game between the Raiders and the Ravens, where the Raiders did their absolute best to blow this game. They won the game twice. They thought they had won the game in overtime, only to have instant replay show that the receiver had come up a yard short. Then they had a false start from the 1-inch line. backed him up. Then Derek Carr's laser into the end zone got deflected up in the air and picked off. And you're like, wow, this is, I'm watching, I'm laughing. I'm thinking, I'm going to come on this morning with you and we're just going to be mocking the Raiders for such a Raider, typical Raider type loss. But Lamar Jackson wearing the goat horns. Two big fumbles. And as you heard, they got the ball back. The Raiders did and ended up winning the football game. What were your takeaways, your observations of the Raiders?
Well, the Raiders still can't play defense. So tell me something that's new. But the idea that Derek Carr is kind of a washed-up quarterback and he's not a decent quarterback, to me, I think you can throw that one in the trash and kick it down the street. This is a guy that can make plays for you at the quarterback position. He can stem plays with his feet. His arm accuracy and talent is there. He's not going to panic. So when the Broncos face the Raiders, these are the things that you have to keep into consideration. And knowing as though they got a great, you know, running back tandem with Josh Jacobs, who was banged up and was overcoming an illness, and they have Kenyon Drake. So this is a Raider team that you definitely have to keep your eye on, because they can score some points.
The other part of this was the debut of Peyton and Eli Manning with assorted friends and guests doing their own sort of simulcast on ESPN2, and it opened to rave reviews to the point where I don't know if Brian Greasy, Lewis Riddick, and Steve Levy are too happy about it, because they were entertaining, they were funny, the two of them get together. It was early on, Eli says, boy, there's a lot of shine on that forehead there, Peyton. Would you spray Pam on it? And Peyton just leaned forward and goes, okay, all right, it's on. Let's go.
Yes.
You know, and it was like that the rest of the night. And Eli, boy, Eli's sense of humor, which was kept in check while he was quarterback of the Giants, definitely coming out. The two of them together are pure gold. And they're scheduled to do 9 more of these.
Well, here's the great thing about
it. I know where I'll be watching the game with these guys.
Of course, and I understand that, because it's almost like you set up a camera in the Manning's household on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And you let the guys go and talk about the game. And this is where I believe, Mike, that football commentating is going to go. I mean, we have our traditional Jim Nance, you know, Tony Romo, Joe Buck, and, you know, everyone else, and Lewis Riddick and the Monday Night crew. But having guys who have played the game sit around and really talk about it, I mean, this is the wave of the future. ESPN has done this before with college football.
Yep.
And I like this.
But never with this kind of star power.
Not with this type of star power. But also, you mentioned something that Eli and Peyton could do that you can't do on a regular broadcast. You can have current and former players talk about plays as they take place. Now, the only thing that concerns me is that if you're a current player and you see something that happens and you shame a team or a coordinator and you just happen to play them later on, now that's bulletin board material.
Yeah, Russell Wilson was on late in the broadcast and he was being very blunt with some of his critiques and criticisms. Next on The Morning Brew.
I don't know anything much more about the injury other than he did sublux it. You know, we're going to get a second opinion just to make sure on all the stuff that we have. And we're going to put him on IR and we're going to go from there. As we learn more, we'll go from there.
Well, Ron Rivera and the Washington football team will not have Ryan Fitzpatrick for the next month and a half with a hip injury. Do we see Cam Newton and Ron Rivera get reunited in D.C.?
No.
Don't be so quick there, John.
I'll be shocked, because Ron Rivera has had two opportunities to bring in Cam, and he shut down both opportunities. Now, he seems to be a man of his word, and I don't know him personally, but for him to go back on his word and decide, well, you know what, I'm in a tight jam here, bring in Cam, I would love to see it, but I don't see it happening, because whatever it was between Ron and Cam down in Carolina, it definitely drove a rift between both of them, and it would be kind of crazy for him to go back and backtrack on something he said twice.
All right, that'll do it for The Morning Brew. Bring that to you each and every morning at 6:30. Mike Kliss, our 9 News Bronco insider, will join us. Tell us who is prepared to step up in the absence of Jerry Jeudy, and where do the Broncos look at Bradley Chubb for availability this week? That's next.